It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. Can we get the Chargers coming off a 5-12 year? I repeat, because the last time we played them, we put 63 on their ass. 63 on their ass. Do you know anybody on God's green earth? Do you know anybody who said, I'm going to the window and bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl? I don't. I know a lot of people.
If you combined all the Charger fans in Southern California, you can fit them in my pool.
JT the Brick.
You hear this crap? They're saying, oh, the Raiders have this. They don't have anything. But the Chargers do. And it's the same jerks who say, I love the Chargers roster. Every year. You idiot. You know nothing about the Raiders. The Chargers, America's new bandwagon, had 5 wins last year. Lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. I'm fighting off the Charger fans who think they're going to the Super Bowl.
And now,
63 on their ass.
Here's JT the Brick.
Raider Nation, unite. Who's more fired up than me? Nobody. Who's ready to go more than me? Nobody. I'm ready to roll. Got to beat the Chargers. Have to beat the Chargers. I was with the owner of the Raiders last night and told him to his face, we got to beat the Chargers. Welcome in. We're ready to roll. I got Phil Villapiano on today. Foo. He's serious. He wants to come on. I'm like, yeah, we got to get you on. Let's go. Let's get big. Let's go into L.A. We, the season ticket holders, the show, the black hole, go in and get a win. I call this the JT the Brick Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm all in. I don't play poker, but if I was playing in the World Series of NFL poker, I'd go all in on this game. Well, it's pretty risky. If you don't win, I'll be here Monday. A lot of other people won't if we don't win. I think the Raiders will win. It's time to get going, man. We're done with sugar-coated summer radio, man. We're done with this. Hey, man, let's see how it plays out. I would go as far to say, in my 27 years with this team, this is probably the most nervous I've seen the Raider Nation. And that's the focus of the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the greatest happy hour in town. No debate. Half price drinks. Make sure you get home safe. Don't drink and drive. You know that already. If you go there for food, to watch games, Thursday night, I'll get into the Chiefs bandwagon momentarily and all of that. But for me, this is a massive game coming up against the Chargers. And I am a sports talk radio host. And my job is to have tremendous energy for 2 hours a day. And then I do another show for 2 or 3. And whatever it is, when the lights come on, the microphone comes on, I'm ready to go. And there are easier days than others. When you win, it's the same show, the same insiders, mostly the same guest. But when you win, everybody feels better. When you lose, everybody is down in the dumps freaking out. And this year, I'm sensing that Raider Nation is on edge. They're on edge here because they don't know what we're going to see. You have no media coverage at all. None. Other than the Raiders Broadcasting Network, Silver and Black Productions. Literally, there's no media coverage of this team anywhere. You can't find any. So you got to now look for scraps. And if you're the national media, when it comes to the Raiders, you're not even giving them the respect to even acknowledge them. You're not even acknowledging them. I want to give a round of applause to CBS. They're sending Nance and Romo to do the game. Ooh, what's that about? Nance and Romo, the A-team for CBS, is doing the game. They could have picked a whole bunch of other games, and that's the one that they're going with. So CBS is taking it pretty seriously. They put the A-team up there, but everybody else is not. So the Raider Nation has an opportunity not to shock the world, beating the Chargers. We had Lee Hacksaw Hamilton on yesterday, the franchise in Southern California. He didn't expect the Raiders to win, but he made a pretty good point about the fact that you better get them now. You better get them now, and I agree with that. I think the Chargers are going to be better with Jim Harbaugh. We all know that. So you better get them now, and he's right. And the same thing with Sean Payton. Denver's going to be better down the road. You better get them now. And we've won 8 in a row against Denver. So with all this that's happening right now, I think it's really important to understand the importance of this game. It's a tone setter. Last year, the Raiders won in Denver. Jimmy Garoppolo slid in bounds on third down. It was a great, great day. As Eric Allen and I did the pregame show, postgame show, it was euphoric. 1-0. 1-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo, healthy, playing reasonably well. Expectations were high. What happened was Jimmy Garoppolo train wrecked. The coach and the GM got fired. If you would have went back to week 1, when I finished the postgame show, it felt pretty good. Garoppolo looks good. Devontae's good. Max is great. Look pretty good. And then look what happened with the team. And they almost made the playoffs with firing a regime. Well, think about that for a second. No one brings that up on national media. You know, last year the Raiders went through a lot. They fired their coach and their GM, and they almost made the playoffs. You don't get any of that. Now, I heard Mia Kimes say the Raiders aren't a very good team today. I said, wow. I go, well, that's interesting, that fine young lady. They're not very good. Other people just saying they're just throwing us away. That's what I think they're doing. They're just throwing the Raiders away. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen going forward? I don't know. But I know the significance of this game. And the significance of this game is win it. Just go win it. I don't care. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I think the game's going to come down to a field goal late. I think it's going to be tough. I talked to a Raider Hall of Famer today who told me whenever you play hardball, win or lose, it's tough. His teams play sound, fundamental, physical football. And that's what AP Antonio Pierce will join us today. I did the interview yesterday. You might have saw it on YouTube already. We'll play it a little bit later on the show here and get going with that. But look, I believe that the Raiders are good enough to win 9-10 games. I think they're also, if they ran into a buzzsaw, could lose, you know, not a significant amount, but they could lose games. And I think if everything hits beautifully, there is some pretty high upside with the team. But we're not going to know until the Charger game. The Charger game, to me, is too important to lose. It is. Week one, it doesn't matter. The Patriots dynasty with Belichick, they looked at the first four games differently than most. They just wanted to figure things out. Just want to see how everybody looked, kind of scrutinize special teams, see if everything was working. They were so buttoned up under Belichick, they didn't freak out. And also, in their dynasty that they played in, they played against garbage. Everybody forgets that. The Patriots played against garbage for 20 years. That whole division rolled over, and the Patriots just slaughtered them. So when week one started for the Patriot dynasty, you knew they were going to the playoffs, and they're probably going to get a bye week and play all their games at home. Kind of nice when you enter September. Kansas City is starting to get into that mold also. Kansas City is starting to get into that mold where they're, hey, the season starts tonight. We're going to win plenty of games to make the playoffs. We want to play great at the end of the year. And last year they beat Baltimore and Baltimore. They beat Miami. They really played great at the end of the year, and they won the Super Bowl. So I don't think they're going to stress tonight. If Kansas City wins or loses, it's not going to affect them much. They're going to win 11, 12 games most likely, unless something catastrophic happens. I doubt it will. So that also leads me to Kansas City today. So last night, my wife and I, thanks for those who shout us out. It was our 25th wedding anniversary. I want to give a shout out to Steve Stallworth and the entire team over at the South Point. We went to the legendary restaurant Michael's last night, which last night was a top five dining experience of my life. And I'm not a foodie. I'm not one of those Michelin guys and, you know, I'm going to this place. I've never experienced anything like it. It was insanity the way they treated us last night at Michael's restaurant in South Point. I mean, if you go there, if you ever want to go somewhere and take your experience to the level that it's never been at, go there. So my wife and I had a great time and it was really nice. Again, thanks to Steve Stallworth and everybody over at Michael's for setting us up on our anniversary. And I talked to a lot of Raider fans when I was in the South Point. Guys in the restaurant, a couple other people going in and out of the restaurant, saw the owner, Mark Davis. We started talking about the Raiders. I made it clear to everybody that it's win time now. You got to go win. I mean, we sat here all offseason. We went to Costa Mesa. We went back and forth. We had open practices outside. We had practices that were open to the public in Henderson. I did the state of the team with Sandra Douglas Morgan and Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce, who was all buttoned up and really nice. Now it's time to go play football and win some games. It's time to go play some football and win some games. Be tougher and more physical. Last year, not a lot of penalties. Led the league when it came to that category. How is that possible? The Raiders? They had two games where they didn't have a penalty. They're going to have to do that again. Will they be able to do that in week one? The Raiders didn't show us anything in the preseason, nor did the Chargers. Justin Herbert just showed up on the injury report today with his foot because I guess they had to put it up there, but he was a full participant in practice. So that's okay. We know you got to have to go against him. So with all that's happening in front of us now, Raider Nation, we need a sense of urgency, and I think we're going to get that. The black hole is invading SoFi. I already talked to Mark Jones, the people on the ground in L.A. I'm back here hosting the pre and post from headquarters. I'll go to a couple of road games this year. I'm not going week one. I hope you're there in full force. I have some great inside information from the black hole and some of the other tailgates and the black hole Southern California. It's going to be incredible. Antonio Pierce told me yesterday he wants a blackout. So I don't think there's going to be any problem when it comes to a situation where there's going to be problems with the energy of the team ready to go. I don't think there's going to be any of that there. I think the team is going to be at 100%. I think that everybody in the fan base is going to be at 100%. I think everything's going to be relatively perfect going into the game. I really believe that. Excuse me a second. I really think you're going to see that coming into the game. Everybody's going to be buttoned up, and it's going to be a sea of silver and black. It's going to be loud. It's going to be intense. But that's what's going to be delivered to the Raiders. The Raiders are going to have that delivered to them on the kickoff. Now they're going to have to go out and win the game. Players are going to have to do this. I've never seen Christian Wilkins play in a Raider uniform. You haven't either. I haven't seen Malcolm Kuntson last year. You know, seeing him in shorts and not pads at practice. You know, I don't know how great Malcolm Kuntz is going to be. What happens if he has a 3-sack game? What happens if they're doubling Max? They're doubling or leaving in a back to go after Wilkins, and Kuntz is coming off the edge, and he's got a 2.5-sack game. Because Herbert's not going to be able to run at all. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Wilkins is going to put his paw up in the air. It's going to get deflected right into Divine Diablo, who's going to take it. And no one knows. The Vegas handicappers don't know. Nobody knows how the Raiders can play if their defense plays explosive. That's my big takeaway. Oh, is Gardner Minshew going to play well? How good is Gardner Minshew going to be? What is Gardner going to do? I don't know. But I think he's a veteran, a savvy veteran who can play well. I really do. I think he's a savvy veteran. But what happens if he takes over, Raiders turn it over on the Chargers 27, and Gardner's out there in the first play? It's 4 wide. He's in the shotgun. It's Bowers in the slot, Michael Mayer on the outside, Jacoby Myers on the left slot, and Devontae wide. All of a sudden, you're like, holy crap, Gardner Minshew's in the shotgun. He's got 4 guys running crossing routes, 1 in the end zone, 1 short of the end zone, and then all of a sudden, Bowers, they dump it off to Bowers 2 yards, and he takes it 18. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I need to see it. So does Mia Kimes, apparently. So does Mike Greenberg, apparently. My buddy Stephen A. Smith. The haters on Fox Sports 1. The other people, they have to see this. Because if they don't see it in real time, they're not going to go back to their producers and teleprompters and say, you know, the Raiders look freaking good. Raiders look pretty good, man, in week one. That's what's on the line here. Can't have a slow start this year. You got to play big in the first game. And I think the team knows it. There's a lot of pressure on the team to play well. They'll handle it well. I truly believe that Antonio Pierce set the tone with this team privately to say that we're going to play like a bully. We're not going to flinch. We're not going to flinch. And we're going to go out there and win games. There's no timid team here, which is good. You know, I don't look at this as a 4 or 5 win team that's going to be timid. I look at this as a team that could get out of the gate, get to 3-1 or 2-2, stabilize the noise, and then really play their best football. But unfortunately, my mind is telling me, and I've been doing this a long time, that they better be good day one. Okay? This thing's got to work day one on Sunday. This isn't a work in progress coming out of Baltimore saying, hey, we're going to look at the tape and fix this. No, can't do that this year. It's a team that's got to win now. And if they don't win now, we'll be supporting them, wholeheartedly supporting them to fix it and turn it around. It's not the end of the world. There's a lot of football to be played. Half the teams are going to lose week one. I repeat, half the teams in the league are going to lose their first game. It's not the end of the world. But the Raiders have an opportunity to set the tone, maybe better than any team I've seen in quite some time here, because they're a good team. They're a good team they're not under the radar. There is no radar. If this was a war movie and the other country is looking for the bombers coming in and they're under the radar, they don't even see us. They're not even looking at the Raiders. They're not even looking at the radar. They're saying the Raiders aren't on the radar. And the Raiders got to storm in to SoFi with the black hole and everybody else and just invade that city and win and come out. And that's what I'm planning on happening. And if it doesn't, someone's going to clip up this monologue and make a reel out of me losing my mind with the Raider hat on saying, look at this knucklehead and this and that, and I'll take the pain. But I don't want to take the pain. I want to have a good start to the year. So are you with me? Let's get it going. 702-365-9200. Very quickly, before I get to our leadoff hitter, I woke up this morning. My wife turned on the Today Show. They were live from Kansas City. I said, oh, my God. I go, the Today Show is all in bed with the Kansas City Chiefs? It wasn't Ravens Chiefs. It was the Today Show, Hoda and whoever it was, Mike Tirico, friend of the show. They're all in Kansas City playing games, doing bits, Taylor Swift's coming or not. And I look at my wife and I go, I can't bleeping believe this. They have a television network, NBC, who's doing the game, a television morning show, the Today Show, all of their correspondents kissing the Chiefs' ass like nothing we've ever seen. This isn't me bringing up a conspiracy theory. I'm not making this up. If you didn't watch the Today Show today, you don't know what I'm talking about. So it was all Chiefs, and this is what the Chiefs do for their barbecue, and then Taylor Swift, and this is Travis Kelce and his brother's podcast that's making $60 million a year. And I say to my wife, I go, oh, my God, they got NBC in their pocket. They do. NBC's got a lot of their games. It's good for ratings. And now the Today Show, the national show, is now the home show of the Chiefs. I'm like, this is crazy. And then I'm dealing with idiots. I mean, flat-out idiots. I had one idiot on Twitter tell me, I hate the Chiefs. Let me get the tweet. This is an important tweet. Because most of my Twitter is nothing. It's mindless. And most of it, all of it is. So this guy tweets at me. He says, as a sports fan, I like seeing things I've never seen before. None of us have seen a three-peat champion in the NFL. Quote, I hate the Chiefs, but I wouldn't be mad if they made history either. That's what I'm dealing with. So a guy saying, I hate the Chiefs, but I'd like to see history and maybe they'll win. That's what I'm dealing with today. The biggest bandwagon in the history of the NFL, the biggest bandwagon, is the Kansas City Chiefs of 2024. If they three-peat, they're the greatest team of all time, no debate. And in the history of the Raiders and the Chiefs, they will have the greatest football team ever, period. That's what's at stake. Chris in West Oakland begins the show. Chris, start us off. It's your inaugural phone call into the season. Go.
Yes, it is, JT. And one quick question for you. Are you on the air tomorrow? I know Friday sometimes.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here on Friday. Yeah, I'm here every Friday. I'm here.
Okay. So that being said, I'm going to hit the Raiders prediction and season and game more tomorrow than today. I was going to give an NFL overview today, and I'm with you first off, though. I believe Coach Pierce will have these guys ready to play. I don't know if they're going to win or lose. I'll let you know that tomorrow. But I do think they'll go in tomorrow. They'll go in Sunday. It's a perfect setup. It's essentially a home game, even though it's on the road. It's not like they're going into Arrowhead or Rich Stadium in Buffalo. So everything sets up perfect. I know they'll come out ready to play, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Let me get to the NFL in general. You're right about the Chiefs, JT. I can't stand the Chiefs. Yeah, I've resigned myself to the fact how good they are. I respect greatness. But for any self-respecting fan to say they want to see them three-peat, unless you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you're out of your mind. And again, it just shows you why I'm not on things like Twitter and TikTok. Real quick, let me hit the what I think, JT, in the NFC. I think your division winners are going to be the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Saints, and the Saints. And I've gone back and forth with the other one. I'm not sure. The AFC, Kansas City. AFC South, Jacksonville, AFC East, Buffalo, AFC North, Cincinnati. I think coming out of the NFC this year, I think they're going to right the wrong. I think Dan Campbell's not going to be so stupid and kick a field goal when he's got the opportunity. I like the makeup and the physical toughness of that team. I think the Detroit Lions are finally going to come out and get to a Super Bowl. AFC, like I said, the one seat, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, I already went over that. Sorry, I'm driving here in traffic. Yeah. I'm going this year, there's not going to be a three-peat. The one team that's proven they can go out and handle the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cincinnati Bengals, JT, they're going to get the number one overall seed. Joe Burrow's played four seasons. He's gotten hurt of two of them. The other two have ended in the Super Bowl and in an AFC championship game that would have went to overtime if not for one of the dumbest personal foul calls in history by their dumbass linebacker. Cincinnati Bengals are going to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. They're going to spare us all the Taylor Swift, Brittany Mahomes, Jackson Mahomes show. I can't say the word on the radio. They're going to spare us all. Joe Burrow is going to win the Super Bowl MVP, the NFL MVP. The Cincinnati Bengals will be on top of the world. I'll give you a call tomorrow with the Raiders, more of it, more so what I said. But I wanted to get my NFL call in. I normally do it on the national show. I've been practicing. You know what's going on. I just don't have the time. Thanks, JT. That's my prediction, man. Right. I've already been on too long.
Later. Thank you, Chris. Chris in West Oakland picking Cincinnati. I could not disagree with Chris Moore, great friend of mine. I think Cincinnati's roster is highly overrated. I think they have big problems at receiver with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. They're divas. They're not happy. They're freaking out already. And no, I don't think they have an elite offensive line, elite defensive line. I don't think they're an elite team. I don't agree with you on Cincinnati. But the scary thing, because Chris is really smart in football, is he mentioned a whole bunch of teams, and that's really the problem here going forward for the Raiders if they don't rectify it. Chris just mentioned division winner Jacksonville. Well, we play Jacksonville. He picked Cincinnati to win the Super Bowl. We play Cincinnati. He picked Kansas City. We play them twice. So those are four games against teams that Chris believe are division winners and really good. Then you start adding in other teams. The schedule is tough. Now, fortunately, the Raiders don't play the Eagles, the 49ers, the Lions, remember we played the Lions last year, how big of a debacle that was. Everybody got fired after the Lions game. But there's some good teams on the Raiders schedule. And the Chargers aren't one of them. Let me repeat that again. The Chargers might beat the Raiders. I don't think they will, but they might. That's not an elite team. If they win that award in grammar school, most improved student, if they are most improved, okay, I'll give Harbaugh a lot of credit. But catching the Chargers week one, when they didn't play any of their starters in the preseason with a brand new coach and coordinators, this is when you want to get the Chargers. This is when you got to get them. You know, week seven, it's going to be different. The Charger game at the end of the year, it probably ain't going to mean squat. But one of the two teams will be eliminated by then. So that game is not even going to matter. The last game of the year at Allegiant Stadium has been pretty cool if you're a season ticket holder over the years. They've been pretty cool games. But you know, I look at the Chargers, you want to get them week one. If you would have told me which team I'd rather play week one, it would be the Chargers or maybe, you know, Denver at home. Yeah, I thought when the schedule came out, they'd do us a favor. They'd give us a home game, then a road game. That would have been fair, right? That would have been reasonable. They gave us the Harbaugh brothers back-to-back on the road. So we're facing two head coaches. Because this week, Jim Harbaugh is talking to John every night about the Raiders. Now, John's got a game tonight against Kansas City. So John's got his hands full. So he's going to coach this game, and then he's going to get on the plane going home. He's going to land. He's going to have 9 days off. And the first day, he's going to be on the phone with his brother saying, this is what you need to do to play the Raiders. And Jim's going to say, well, I'm playing the Raiders. I'll tell you what I learned about the Raiders. You get them next week for your home opener. Sounds real fair, doesn't it? Like, really nice move, Roger, to give that schedule to us to kick off the season. But you got to play the schedule, man. Max Crosby doesn't care. Been texting with Max. He's got a new podcast with Jim Gray now. He took over for the Tom Brady role on Let's Go. Max is ready to go. Max doesn't hear all this garbage. He's ready to play. What happens if Max Crosby goes into L.A. and just disrupts that game so badly that Max has a starting game to being the defensive player of the year? I don't know. He's going up against Joe Alt. What if Joe Alt has a great game? It's going to be crazy. This one, I don't got a bad feeling about it, but I don't have a lot to say. I got the Raiders 23-21. Either Carlson's going to kick the game winner with no time left, or we're going to get off the field on fourth down with them coming down and win the game. It's going to be one of those games. I don't see either team running away from themselves, but we'll see what you think. All right, so here's what we want to do today. We want to get your opinion on the game, okay? We want to get everybody back to where they are normally with me in October, November. Y'all been sleeping. Y'all been on vacation. Y'all been listening to sugar-coated radio nationally or whatever. You're not used to this show. It's a demanding show for the listener because we'd like you to participate. You should be in the YouTube chat. YouTube is up and running. Be in here, JT the Brick YT. You should be on the phone, 702-365-9200. You should be on X at JT the Brick and get involved in this show. I'm demanding that Raider fans get more energized because you had a sleepy summer, man. You were all sleepy and at the beach and all good at the pool parties in Vegas, doing hikes in Northern California. I'm all for that. It's time to get back to work. Let's get some angry, vicious Raider fans with an edge to them on the radio, which is the type of show that I like to do. We're brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. It's one of America's greatest success stories. I am thrilled to be partnered with Tito's. It's incredible. It's my go-to vodka. It has been for a long time, and you'll love it. Go to titosvodka.com for recipes, videos, and so much more. They are our new proud partner as I finish the monologue on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think you look at the preseason and everybody's going to look at, you know, some negatives and things that happened. But I think more importantly, it was a great opportunity for us to gel and get those things out the way early and make those adjustments. And listen, what you think you were doing in practice, that's not working. You need to do it this way. Or did you understand what we're asking you to do here with technique-wise or the fundamental or what the scheme was asking you to do? So when you can put that on film, that gives us a great opportunity to teach off of that. But I am excited. It's a very motivated group in that room with Patrick Graham. It's an outstanding job. An outstanding job. Now we're starting to turn that heat up a little bit, right? Now the pot's starting to boil a little bit, starting to simmer a little bit for these guys. And I trust our defense staff to make sure we're ready to play on Sunday.
It's Antonio Pierce. You'll hear my conversation with him coming up in a little bit. We'll do that every Wednesday with Coach, and we'll play it on Thursday as part of our programming here. We're brought to you by Resorts World. Tonight, I will be at Doghouse Saloon at Resorts World. That's the JT the Brick Show's official home for Thursday night and Monday night football. Doghouse has the best views to watch the game, a sports book on site to place your bets, incredible food, drink specials, a great after party with live entertainment, dueling pianos. They have great music, especially the concerts that roll right into Doghouse. So if you go to Resorts World, the theater there, the Carrie Underwood events, Kevin Hart, whatever they have, right next to it is Doghouse Saloon. You can't miss it. If you're coming in off the Grand Lobby, it's easy to find. Doghouse Saloon. A lot of people are looking for spots to go watch Monday night, Thursday night, this week, Friday night football in São Paulo, Brazil. So tonight I'll be down there for a few hours down at Resorts World, Doghouse Saloon. Come join me as we got a lot happening this week. I'm going to be out on the road a bunch as we really kick in our coverage of the NFL here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. So I mentioned Kansas City and the bandwagon that's being built. That story's not going to go away until they lose. And I think they're set up to lose this year, even though Kansas City brought most of their star players back. Hollywood Brown not able to go. They are banged up a little bit. My son's first client, Jaden Hicks, is playing in this game, the rookie safety. So even though I'm not a Chiefs fan, I root hard for this kid who played at Bishop Gorman. Want to see him do well. But this will be a fun game tonight. This is a heavyweight fight. The NFL knows how to put their schedule together. They give you a heavyweight fight. Vince Sapienza joins us. He's the new host of our morning show here on the flagship station. Plus, he's a Raider insider, Golden Knights. He covers everything here in town. So, Vince, you got your legs on in the morning now. You got your legs underneath you for a couple of weeks. How's it been?
It's been great, JT. You know, that 3 hours, it's a giant adrenaline rush, right? Mm-hmm. And that drive from the radio station to my other job, Fox 5, you know, I'm able to calm down a little bit before I have to get revved back up to be back on air. Impossible today. The NFL season is back. We are just days away from the Silver and Black hitting the field. It is a rivalry game. I've been talking to Raiders alumni all week, and they are as fired up as any member of Raider Nation because this one just means a little bit more. And it should, because it's the tone setter for the week, for the season, and it's Chargers week.
Yeah, I think it feels bigger to me, Vince, than a lot of games over the last 4 or 5 years. It just feels like it's more of a tone setter than in years past. And I think a lot of that has to do with Antonio Pierce going back to L.A., his first game, starting game as a head coach compared to being an interim coach. I mean, he's been busting at the seams for months to get ready for this game. He'll have the team ready to go.
Look, I know in realistic standards, this you cannot have a week one be a do-or-die type game. I understand Rude is a realist. But for the Raiders, from a mental capacity, this has to be everything. This has to be a do-or-die. This is as big a week one game as I can remember in covering the Raiders, and I would kind of default to you in that aspect in terms of covering the team longer. But this is massive. As it, you know, the Chargers aren't going to be what the Chargers are going to be 2 months from now. They need to get them now. They need to catch Jim Harbaugh now. There's a reason CBS is sending the A-team to this game, and it's not because of the Raiders, if we're being honest. It's because of Jim Harbaugh, his return, everything in L.A., top markets in the country. The Raiders need to use that as fuel, and I believe Antonio Pierce is using everything to toss onto that fire. I wish I could be a fly on the wall in that team meeting Saturday night as they get set to go to bed, have their final preparations, and then get up for Sunday at SoFi, because it's going to be absolutely electric. We don't know what we're going to get out of this offense if we're being honest with the silver and black. Defensively, there's no toe in the water. Defensively, this team, this unit, has to be the top 10 touted talent that we've been talking about all summer. From the opening drive, you talk about tone setters in terms of week one and the matchup. The defense has to be the tone setter for this team, and it has to happen on the first drive, on the first play against the Chargers offense.
Vince Sapienza, Fox 5 and Raider Nation Radio joining us. You nailed everything. The defense has to play a great game, period. Because they have to carry the load. They have to be the tone setter in this game. And I think that Minshew will play well if it's not too dramatic in week one and he's not down, you know, double-digit points and has to lead the team on his back. I'm most excited about Bowers being ready to go because I wasn't sure about that. And Antonio Pierce made it clear, yeah, he's up. He's ready to go. Bowers said yesterday in the locker room, all he cares about is playing football. We get a chance to see Brock Bowers play his first NFL game on the road in a division rivalry. And I think he's got to be a big part of this game plan. I think he's got to have 8, 9, 10 targets in this game, really to throw a loop at the Chargers defense saying, we got to account for this guy as much as Davante Adams.
I've been on record to say that Davante Adams is obviously going to get the top targets on the team, as he should. Brock Bowers is going to be number two, and it's not even going to be close to me. Mm. And it rightfully so, because when you look at this team, everyone was scratching their heads, right? Mm. The Raiders took a tight end in the first round. Didn't they need a quarterback? Didn't they need this and that? Brock Bowers is going to show in week one the type of talent he is. I mean, you talk about a guy who lives, eats, breathes, doesn't talk much, but when he does talk, it is about football. And so, you know, we were talking on the morning show, you know, what is this offense going to look like? It's nothing we've seen in the preseason, da-da-da-da. I said we're going to get a heavy dose of Zamir White early and often, but those plays that aren't directed at Devontae, I believe, are going to Brock Bowers. Because Luke Getsy has talked about, you know, getting Brock Bowers quick completions, you know, short two-yard throws, bubble screens, working them out of fullback, working them in the flat, things like that. They're extensions of the run game. They're just called pass plays. So I think those high percentage throws, we're going to see a lot of them to Brock, those little button hooks over the middle, the little flats out in the zone, different things like that. We're going to see a lot of Brock Bowers and then let him go, right? This is the beauty about Gardner Minshew. Everybody's talking about Gardner. What is he? What isn't he? In every other position that he has been in terms of teams, he's had to, in a sense, kind of be the guy, right? He's kind of had to be the one making the plays. He's had to put the cape on and be Superman. He doesn't in Las Vegas, which is why I believe this is going to be the best version of Gardner Minshew he's ever had in his career. What that means in terms of wins and losses is to be determined, but I do believe he understands his role as the facilitator, the point guard, and he doesn't have to make the hero play. Mm-hmm. You got Davante Adams. You got Brock Bowers. Michael Mayer would be a number one tight end on just about any other team. But you have a 1A, 1B situation here with Brock Bowers. Jacoby Myers might be the most underrated two wide receiver in the National Football League. So when you talk about weapons, I mean, the Raiders have them. It's a matter, can they put it all together? And that's going to be what's on Gardner Minshew's shoulders. But I believe Brock Bowers is going to have a massive role in this offense number two in targets on the team by the end of the season. And I think we're going to see the best we've ever seen of Gardner Minshew.
That's Vince Sapienza. He'll join us, if he can, every 2 weeks on this day, roughly around that. He's our insider. He's our morning host. You catch all his coverage on Fox 5. It's a big one. I mean, it's going to be your first morning show you hosted in your career with your teammates coming off a win or a loss. You're going to notice very quickly the reaction of Raider Nation on Monday, my friend.
You know what the beauty is? Those calls are going to be lighting up one way or another,
yes.
And I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for the banner and the reaction, because I've been on record, 24-20, silver and black, Sunday.
Take care, buddy. Be good.
Thanks, JT.
There's Vince Sapienza, Fox 5, and our teammate on the morning show. Yeah, he's right. I mean, Monday's going to be a pretty interesting time around here. Monday is my hell day, because it's a good way. I get off the radio at 11 at night on Mad Dog Sports Radio after anchoring the pregame show at 11 in the morning. And then we turn around, Eric Allen and I, and we interview Rich Gannon at 8:30 in the morning on Monday. So wish me luck Sunday night at midnight, where I'll be desperately looking for a little shut-eye. 4 to 5 hours will be perfect, and then we hit the ground running on Monday. And then Monday night, my night wraps up at Wynn, where I'm on from Wynn Resort for SiriusXM from 4 to 7 p.m. We'll get to some of your phone calls coming up here as we continue on. We're brought to you by Tequila Commissario, the most awarded tequila, the Ferrari of tequilas. You come into my home, it looks like artwork. Right when you come through the front door of my home, there it is, all the bottles, the Añejo, the Reserve, right there in my house. Because when people come to my home, I want them to have the best tequila in this entire marketplace. Tequila Commissario, proud partner of Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, definitely, you know, new staff, new team, everything like that. But, you know, I will say the coaches have done a good job trying to put stuff in front of us and give us the looks that they think we will see. You know, just everybody's working hard, and we got to understand that and just be willing. You know, first game is always weird. You don't know what teams are or who they really are. So you just got to, you know, you kind of have an idea maybe, but you just got to be willing to adjust as the game goes on.
That is Christian Wilkins playing a big role with the Silver and Black, formerly of the Dolphins. Now hopefully helping Max Crosby turn it up. JT, back with you as we continue. Lee Sterling joins us, Paramount Sports. Last week, week one, 3-0, dominating Georgia, Penn State, and his Miami Hurricanes. Fantastic start to the season. Lee, not every week's going to be perfect for you, but what a start for you and your customers, clients.
Oh, it's funny. We went 8-1 for our clients over the weekend. When you put in 300-400 hours in the summer, when you get off to a good start, you know you're seeing things, you know, the right way, and that's the way it was. And even one of those picks in my hometown team, the Miami Hurricanes, finally, maybe after 20 years, might be one of those top 10 or 15 teams.
Yeah, they definitely look like it, especially a quarterback. Let's begin. Texas minus 7 versus Michigan. Michigan coming off the national championship. Harbaugh gets out of Dodge with everybody chasing him out of there. Is there a letdown here? Because Steve Sarkisian and Texas, they can't afford an early loss. This team almost wants to be perfect, and they got two quarterbacks that can play at a very high level. I don't understand what exactly their concept's going to be, but I love the way they play defense, especially up front.
Yeah, and their defense is not chopped liver.
Yeah.
I mean, they held Iowa State last year on the road to 9 rushing yards. They are going to face a really good Michigan defense. Michigan might have 2 or 3 players drafted in the first round. So I think those two units are about the same. The difference here is the Texas offense. I mean, they go 2-3 deep in every position. Michigan would love to borrow one of their quarterbacks. Davis Warren, the walk-on starter, I don't know if he's going to be the starter in a week or two. So he is a game manager in their 4 scoring drives last week, 2 field goals, 2 touchdowns. They range from 26 to just 47 yards here in Texas. People think it's all about playing at home. No, they're actually better on the road. They've won 7 straight non-conference road games here. Michigan's going to lose quite a few games this year. Mm. It starts this Saturday. Texas, 28-16.
Texas wins and covers the spread. We move on to the NFL. It's the Tom Brady game. His first game as a broadcaster. Cleveland minus 2.5 against Dallas. Look, I thought Dallas was loaded last year. It was my Super Bowl pick. They had Dak playing at a high level. Their defense was loaded. They were probably one of the most balanced teams out there. And we keep hearing about Cleveland. Cleveland. How am I going to know if Cleveland's for real unless Deshaun Watson plays at a high level? Can I expect him to play at a high level to open up the season?
Well, during the regular season, the Cowboys have been fool's gold. Only the Chiefs have more wins during the regular season the last 3 years. It's impressive, but here's the problem. They're not going to lead the NFL in scoring this year. They've already lost two guys on the offensive line from last year. Their running back group is weak with Ezekiel Elliott as their starter. They lost their incredible defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn. He's the head coach here at the Commanders now. So I think you're going to see some regression there. Cleveland, no Nick Chubb for a while. Deshaun Watson will start. We don't know if he's 100%. There is one constant here. It's the Cleveland defense at home. On the road, no good. 31 points per game they gave up. But at home, just 13.8 points per game here. Cleveland gets it done, 24-17.
Cleveland, 24-17. This is Lee Sterling joining us from Paramount Sports. He was perfect last week, 3-0. Go to ParamountSports.com to see his picks, his selections, his transparency. All right, so here we go with an interesting game here because I'm wondering, I look at the Niners, and the Niners had a really noisy offseason, but they got their stars back this week, Ayuk and Trent Williams and McCaffrey. And it seems like just with the snap of a finger, John Lynch got this done right there before a really big game. And a lot of people, Lee, I'm seeing have the Jets in the Super Bowl, the Jets as the AFC champs, all of this. I think the Jets are going to be good, man, but this is a long road trip for them, really long as they go into Santa Clara, the Niners 4-point favorite.
Well, it's going to help them that it's opening week. So it's not in the middle of the season. It's not when they're beaten up. I mean, they've been just so injured over the last couple of years. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's not going to have to just throw the ball to set up the run. Why? He might have, if not the best, and you know, we know how good San Francisco's running game is, but Breece Hall is the ultimate home run hitter. He can snap off a long 80, 90-yard touchdown run, and also he's good near the goal line. And Garrett Wilson, I think he's almost unguardable. So take nothing away from San Francisco. They were that close to winning the Super Bowl, but it might take them a week or two to get going here. Wrong team favorite.
Whoa.
The Jets upset San Francisco 27-24.
Jets on the road with a win to open up the year. You'll remember that pick. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Your game of the week is tonight. How does everybody get this? Because I don't know how you pick this game. Baltimore, the ultimate chip revenge game. You're a revenge game type of guy in Kansas City. I think you always want the reigning champs on banner night when they're sitting there with their parents in the stands and they're all telling each other how great they are. What action do you have on this game? I know you got a nugget of information. Yep. How do we get it?
Well, we've never given away the opening Thursday night game in the NFL, but I'm going to do it here. First five callers from your show, they call 800-400-9741. I will give them the game for free. We were on the money last year in the NFL, over 61%. It's our bread and butter. College football, we started the year off 8-1 last weekend. How can you come on board? Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
One more time with the number for the first five.
800-400-9741.
Thank you, Lee. See you next week.
Okay.
Lee Sterling going to give the first five listeners to our show that game for free. 800-400-9741. He was 3-0 last week. Lee's really good at what he does here. I don't have time to get to everybody here. We'll get to everybody on the other side. When we come back, Antonio Pierce, and we're going to get that going. And we got some calls, but we're going to get to Antonio Pierce. We have that conversation. Also, Phil Villapiano is going to join us coming up here in a little bit as we're able to go. Let me get out to Thor. Can we get to Thor? Go ahead, Thor. How are you?
JT, what's happening, my brother? Fired up, man. Football starts today, baby. Let's go. Raiders are 3 days away, man. Let's go. I see no reason why we shouldn't beat the Chargers. Like, I know a lot of people are calling close games. I know you even said 23-21. I think we need to beat these dudes up, man. We're way better than this team, man. We put 63 on them last time we played them at the house. I know we're going out there, and they got Harbaugh now. But for talent, come on. They lost all their people, Austin Eckler and the two receivers. And what's his name? Pimple Face, dude. He's been hurt all preseason. He's ready to come out. Raider Nation, man. stand up, get behind this team. Let's go, man. Our offensive line and defensive line need to dominate, and we need to dominate this team right now. JT,
thanks,
27-13 Raiders. Let's go.
That'd be a hell of a score. If you could hold Justin Herbert to 13 points, I don't think the Raiders can. I think the Raiders can win this tight game. It could come right down to the stretch there. But I think this is going to be a very close game because I have that much respect for Harbaugh. And I think Harbaugh is going to be ready to go. He's going to have the team ready to go. I think the Raiders are the better roster, the better team. And they've had more time together than Harbaugh and this new coaching staff and unit here. But overall, it's going to be really interesting to see if they can pull this off. I got the Raiders winning a tight one by less than 3 points. Mark in Michigan. Go ahead, Mark. What's happening?
Hello, JT. Good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for all you do. Hey, wanted to give a little perspective on the season. Obviously, I think for the first time in probably 15 years, I feel like we finally are building a good, solid roster with good drafting and people development. That being said, I think I'm excited about this year, but I think it's really going to fall on coaching. Mm-hmm. And I love Antonio Pierce. I think he's definitely the man. And I think as far as the offensive performance is concerned, it's up to Luke Getsy to coach a game plan, put together an offensive game plan that plays to the strengths of that team. There's mm-hmm. a lot of talent, a lot of weapons, but don't overcomplicate it. Is our quarterbacking is, I think, better than what most people think, but not elite. So I'm clearly looking at the coaching, in particular on the offensive side, to bring this team along and deliver a solid season for us.
Thank you. I would hope you're right about that. Thanks for the call, because you're one of the few people that have called in all week about Getsy and what Getsy needs to do. I'm going to be talking about that heavy tomorrow on the importance of what Luke Getsy has to do to have this team ready. This is not what Josh McDaniels wanted to do. Josh McDaniels did not want to be super aggressive. I think Getsy, I don't know how aggressive he is, but I think he has to come into his tenureship with the Raiders really mixing it up. Heavy, strong running game, hardcore running game, two tight end set, and the receivers got to be in motion. All these routes have to look different than what the Raiders have put on film the last couple of years. And the tight ends, the young tight ends, are going to have to make big plays in the first, second, third, and fourth quarter. Hey, man, we got two young tight ends starting their career who want the football. Do the right thing and get them the football. Get them the football, and I think the Raiders are going to have a very unique offense that's going to give the opponents fits all year long. Thanks to everybody on YouTube today. Appreciate you.